This is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast, show number 3.
What's going on, everyone? It's Devon Jarvis, host of the How to Not Suck at Money podcast.
Welcome back, you guys. Glad to have you here with me today. Today, we're going to talk about how to set up your emergency fund. If you haven't checked out my first 2 episodes, go ahead and look that up. Last episode, I talked about how to make a budget. A lot of these things that we're going to talk about today as far as setting up your emergency fund will be based on how to set up your budget. So go ahead and check the last episode out, episode 2, and that'll help set the stage for what we're talking about today. Why do you need an emergency fund? Well, statistically, if you don't have an emergency fund, you have no savings for emergencies, then anything that comes up will become an emergency for you. It'll set you back. If you don't have a good job that has high cash flow coming in, then you're going to go into debt. You're probably going to put this on a credit card. And with interest rate environments today for credit cards, you're looking at, on the low end, probably about 12% if you're lucky, on the high end up to 28%. And we don't want that to happen, obviously, because this is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast. So we're trying to be proactive to make sure that we're not in a situation where this becomes a problem. So this article I have here by CNBC, just so you guys know where you stand as far as the rest of the country goes, it's titled 41% of Americans would be able to cover a $1,000 emergency fund with savings. The article goes on to talk about half of Americans can handle a $1,000 emergency, such as medical bills or car repair, by dipping into savings. Another 37% say that they would be able to use a credit card or take out a personal loan or require help from family members. Obviously, we don't want to plan on help from family members in order to cover any kind of emergencies we have. That is not a safe backup, if you will, as far as how you want to plan if anything happens to you there. So this continues to talk about how would Americans actually pay for a $1,000 emergency expense. So like I mentioned before, 41% said that they would use savings. 16% said they would use a credit card, and then 14% said that they would borrow money from family. The rest pretty much would go into debt or would not be able to cover it at all. So that does not put them in a good situation as far as how to cover your emergency fund. So if you did listen to the last episode where I talked about budgeting down to a detail as far as spending for groceries, insurance, car payment, and then we went into specifics as far as emergencies, not quite emergencies, but things that we know that will come up, necessary expenses that a lot of people don't budget on. And that would be repairs for your cars, repairs for your house, things that of that nature that we know will come up that I think a lot of people don't do very well in budgeting for these expenses. So I have another article here. This one is from a couple of days ago. It's dated December 10th, just a couple of days ago. It talks about how 61% of Americans will run out of emergency savings by the end of the year. And then it talks about how to reduce expenses. And we'll get into a little bit of that today as far as how to reduce expenses. So for your emergency fund, big thing here, we want to make sure that, number one, you have a tight budget, knowing exactly what you're going to be spending your money on, where every dollar is going to go, and now you're going to allocate money to your emergency fund. So this is going to be priority number one. We need to make sure that saving for our emergency fund is a priority. Now, typically, I'll say in this non-pandemic environment, I would say 3 to 6 months of expenses, but based on how things have been going with the pandemic, a lot of people losing their jobs, and the uncertainty in the marketplace as far as how long you're going to be working, I really would suggest bumping that up to 6 to 12 months. And it's much better to be in a position where you have more money than you need versus not having enough money at all, right? So go ahead, plan to make sure that you have at least 6 to 12 months worth of expenses. So when I say expenses, that means things that you need to survive. That's going to be, what do I need to do to keep my four walls? My four walls being my house. So I need to pay my mortgage or rent. I need to make sure that I have gas, electricity, insurance. If I need my car for transportation, then I'm paying my car insurance. Now, for car insurance and car, this doesn't mean that I'm going to drive a BMW M5 because I need a car to get, you know, from point A to point B. You may need to reduce that to a Honda Accord, Honda Civic, low forms of transportation. That's not going to cost you a lot of money. That can get the job done, because we don't want to be living above our means. And this will not account for any kind of investing or additional savings. This is just purely expenses. If I lost my job tomorrow, how long can I maintain my bills and be able to live in my house before I completely run out of money? And that's where, like I mentioned, that 6 to 12 months will come in. After you have that figured out, based on making your budget, like I said, review the previous episode where I talked about how to go about and really get into detail with making your budget. Now you need to figure out, how am I going to get this into an account? I don't recommend putting this money into an account that you use every single day. So if you bank with Wells Fargo, Bank of America, USAA, any one of those banks, have a separate account somewhere very different to where you can't get access to it every single day. So there's a few bank accounts out there that offer a little bit better interest rate than your typical bank, your brick and mortar bank. There's some high interest savings accounts out there that you can get a little bit better rates. So one of them is Marcus by Goldman Sachs. As of this recording, they're offering 0.6 APY, which is about 12 times the national average. And the national average, in case you're wondering, is like 0.05%. There's also American Express High Interest Savings Account. They offer, I think, as far as today, based on this recording, they're offering 0.6 as well. And then there's MasterCard, Ally Bank. They're all pretty much in the same range. Now, these banks do fluctuate day to day, and to be honest with you, on one day one may be 0.7, the other way may be 0.6, and they fluctuate day to day. It's not worth chasing that 0.01%, so just pick one of them. They're all pretty reputable banks and they're pretty good, so just pick one, put your money there, and make sure that your emergency fund is liquid, ready to go in the event that anything happens and that you need to access it right away. So what's the most painless way to save for your emergency fund? If you have a W-2 job, go to your employer, set up an allotment, and this is something you can do that will directly take money out of your paycheck before you get paid, and it can go into a separate account. Or if you didn't do that and you had the money coming in, you can set up a percentage of your money after it comes in and it hits your bank account to go to a different bank account. All right, so how are we going to reduce those expenses? Well, first thing, you make the budget. You found out, you know, exactly what you're spending money on. So now you can see any holes that you have, anything you're spending money on that you don't need to be spending money on. If you were budgeting $250 a month to go out to restaurants, obviously right now, depending on where you live in the country, you can't really go out to eat. Since most places are either shut down or you can only do takeout. And yeah, I'm definitely not going to spend $250 a month on takeout. So go to a grocery store, buy some groceries, and cook food at home. Other than that, the next thing you can do is go around your house, find things that you have that you don't use anymore that is just taking up space that you can sell. Go to your garage, find any kind of duplicate things that you have. You know, if you're married and you have two of one thing, then find the other one. Go ahead, put that stuff on YouTube. I'm sorry, not YouTube. Go ahead, put it on eBay, sell it, Facebook Marketplace, get rid of it, get some extra money. And this will actually be good to just help you declutter your life, because we all tend to have a lot more things in our house than we need to. So sell all that crap, take the extra money, start putting it towards your emergency fund. Other than that, any kind of subscriptions you have that you don't need, obviously at this point you might be using, you know, stuff like Netflix a little bit more because we're home and we're not doing going out, spending money on other things. So cut all that stuff out. Keep your budget as lean as possible. Use any extra money you have and let's start building that emergency fund. So today we talked about budget, cutting costs, automating savings, making sure that that money is coming directly out of your paycheck so you don't even get to see it first. And think about it this way. The government takes the money out of your account or out of your paycheck before you even get to see a dollar. So what does that mean? They don't trust you. So you should probably not trust yourself either and automate your savings so that you never get to touch the money. Bank with a different bank other than the bank that you have currently to make sure that all of your money is getting a better interest rate than just sitting in a brick and mortar bank. And I mentioned which ones to use there. Increasing your income, get a side hustle, go get a different job. If you have an opportunity to work overtime at your current job, work overtime. If you don't have the opportunity to do that, then try to find a side hustle. Go online, sell stuff online. There's multiple different things for side hustles. And that's something we could talk about on a later episode. But increasing your income is always a possibility. And if you look at it this way, you can only trim your budget so much until you're pretty much just scrimping to where you're hating life. But as far as increasing your income potential, that's endless and that can go to infinity. That's all based on you going out, getting trained in a different sector, trying to help yourself increase your knowledge and really getting paid a little bit more, or starting a side hustle, starting a business, whatever the case may be. So unlimited potential from that perspective. So don't downplay that as well. And then as you do this stuff, monitor your progress. And like I said, personal capital is my personal favorite. I wake up every morning, I have a cup of coffee, I log into personal capital, and I track my net worth there. I look at all my spending, my expenses, making sure that everything is where it needs to be, from all my investment accounts, bank accounts, everything. It's a one-stop shop. Everything is in one place. And just monitor everything there. And if you don't really monitor your progress, how do you actually know if you're really making any progress? And with that said, thank you so much for tuning in. Go ahead, leave a comment, subscribe if you like this content, leave a rating, and post down in the comments if there's anything you want to hear me talk about and I could possibly address it in a future episode. And with that said, see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.